Circling back along the verge of the marsh, Pendergast came to an area of thick reeds where an esker of cobbled ground ambled out into water. A string of glaciated rocks provided a small but obvious cover. He paused, removed a white handkerchief, wrapped it around a stone, and placed it in a precise location behind the boulders. He then passed by. Beyond the finger of cobbled ground, he found what he had been looking for, a flattish rock just under the surface of the water, surrounded by reeds. He could see that the stag had also gone this way, heading into the marshes. The natural blind was an unlikely place to take cover, and an even more unlikely place to attempt a defense. For those reasons, it would suffice. Wading out to the stone, being careful to avoid the morass on either side, Pendergast took a position among the reeds, well hidden from view. There he crouched, waiting. A spur of lightning split the sky, followed by the crash of thunder. More fog came rolling in from the marshes, temporarily obscuring the ruins on top of the hill. No doubt Esterhazy would arrive soon. The end was in sight. Judson Esterhazy paused to examine the ground, reaching down and fingering some gravel that had been pushed aside by the passage of the stag. Pendergast's footprint was much less obvious, but he could see it in the form of pressed earth and flattened stems of grass nearby. The man was taking no chances, continuing to follow the stag on its winding course through the foul mire. Clever. No one would dare venture in here without a guide, but a stag was as good a guide as any. As the storm rolled in, the fogs thickened. It became dark enough that he was glad to have the flashlight, carefully shielded, to examine the trail. Pendergast clearly intended to lure Esterhazy out into the mire to kill him. For all his pretensions to southern gentility, Pendergast was the most implacable man he had ever met, and a dirty bastard of a fighter. A bolt of lightning illuminated the desolate moors, and he saw through a break in the mist the ragged outline of a ruin standing on a rise a quarter mile away. He paused. That would be a logical place for Pendergast to go to ground and await his arrival. He would approach the ruin accordingly, ambush the ambusher. But even as his practiced eye roamed over the site, he considered that Pendergast was too subtle a man to take the obvious course of action. Esterhazy could assume nothing. There was very little cover in this barren landscape, but by timing his movements, he could take advantage of the heavy fogs coming in from the marshes to provide the cover he needed. As if on cue, a new bank of mist rolled in, and he was enveloped in a colorless world of nothing. He scurried up the hill toward the ruins, able to move fast on the harder ground. About 100 yards below the summit, he circled the hill so as to approach from an unexpected direction. The rain came down heavier now, while the rumblings of thunder marched away over the moors. He crouched and took cover as the fogs cleared for a moment, allowing him a glimpse of the ruins above. No sign of Pendergast. As the fog rolled back in, he moved up the side of the hill, rifle in hand, until he reached the stone wall surrounding an old corral. He moved along it, keeping low, until another break in the mist allowed him to peer through a gap in the rocks. The corral was vacant, but beyond it stood the roofless hut. He approached the structure from along the perimeter of the corral, keeping below the wall. In a moment, he had flattened himself against its rear wall. Creeping up to a broken window, he waited for another gap in the fog. The wind picked up, sighing through the stones and covering the faint sounds of his own movement as he readied himself. And then, as the air cleared a little, he swung around into the window and swept his rifle across the inside of the hut, covering it from corner to corner. Empty. Vaulting over the sill, he crouched inside the hut, thinking furiously. As he suspected, Pendergast had avoided the obvious. He had not occupied the strategic high ground. But where had he gone? He muttered a curse. With Pendergast, only the unexpected could be expected. Another bank of fog rolled in, and Esterhazy took the opportunity to examine the area around the hut, looking for Pendergast's track. He found it with difficulty. It was quickly disappearing in the heavy rains. Continuing down the far side of the hill toward the marshlands below, he could glimpse the lay of the land through gaps in the mists. It was a dead end of sorts. Beyond lay only the Innish marshes. So Pendergast must have taken cover somewhere along the marsh edge. He felt a low-grade panic take hold. Through the breaking mists, he scanned the area. Surely the man wouldn't be hiding in the reeds or cattails. But there was a finger of land that extended into the marshes. He pulled out his spyglass and noted a scattering of glacial boulders that provided just enough cover to hide a man. And by God, there he was, a patch of white just visible behind one of the rocks. That was it then. He had taken the only cover there was, and was waiting in ambush for Esterhazy to pass as he followed Pendergast's trail along the edge of the marsh. Once again, the unobvious thing. And Esterhazy saw just the way to thwart him. The welcoming fog returned. He started down the hill and was soon back among the treacherous bogs of the mire, following the double track of Pendergast and the stag. As he approached the verge of the marshes, he found himself stepping from one hillock to another over quivering sheets of morass. He regained firmer ground, moving off the trail toward a position where he would have a clear line of fire to the area behind the rocks concealing Pendergast. Taking up a position, he crouched behind a hillock, waiting for the mists to part so he could take a shot. A minute passed. A gap appeared in the mists. He could see the little bit of white from Pendergast's hidden position. It appeared to be part of his shirt, and it offered enough of a view to accept a bullet. He raised his rifle.
"Stand up ever so slowly," came the disembodied voice from behind him, almost as if from the marsh water itself.
Chapter 4 Esterhazy froze at the sound of the voice. "As you rise, hold your rifle in your left hand, extended away from your body." Still, Esterhazy found himself unable to move. How was it possible? Whing! The round smacked into the ground between his feet, kicking up a spray of dirt. "I won't ask again." Holding his rifle out,